Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great.
It's good to be back here again with you on another Sunday evening.
It's Palm Sunday.
It is Palm Sunday.
I love Palm Sunday.
Yeah.
I'm glad to see a lot of churches are giving out palms nowadays.
The entry into Jerusalem.
Amen.
What it all
day.
Begins.
Yes.
Once again.
And we're going to try to get through a Palm Sunday teaching in one session because we
in
have
half,
to.
In a half an hour?
Because we can't go on with next week doing Palm Sunday because it'll be Easter Sunday.
That's true. That wouldn't be right.
No.
All right.
It'll be Resurrection Day, so
That's
we can't
right.
be talking about Palm Sunday.
That's true.
So,
all right, go.
So we better get going here because pretty soon the music will start. And
did you hear that?
And no. Since we, you know, are we done already? No. And since the Old Testament is our root, we have to go back to the prophet Zechariah, who's my favorite minor prophet.
I love Zechariah.
He's my favorite minor prophet. But Zechariah chapter 9, I know you've all been reading Zechariah this afternoon, but in chapter 9, do you have it handy?
How did you know that?
Yeah. So
I do.
Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, and, you know, like everything else in a lot of these prophecies, there's messianic prophecies all of a sudden that pop up mm-hmm. when the prophet's talking about something else. All of a sudden there's a powerful messianic prophecy. And this is one of those places. The stuff around it, we don't have time to get into because, you know, it's about sin and wars and stuff. But in verse 9 of chapter 9 is awesome. And when you read this, you'll know exactly what we're talking about. Go ahead.
Exalt greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout for joy, O daughter Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. A just savior is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey.
Wow. So this is Messiah coming into the holy city. And Zechariah says, your king is coming to you. So you should be rejoicing. Now, we'll get to the Palm Sunday account in a minute, but you can already picture all those people with the palm branches waving them and saying Hosanna and singing. Mm-hmm. So you should rejoice because your king is coming to you. And, you know, in Psalm 2, it says that God sets his king on the holy hill of Zion. You know, the king has authority and power. And he's coming into the city.
Mm-hmm.
Not exactly to rule at this point. It's not going to happen until he comes back. But he's coming into the city for the Passover sacrifice.
Right.
He's coming into the city for Passover. But he's going to be the Paschal sacrifice that is going to change the whole faith history of the world. The whole plan of salvation is going to unfold. But the prophet says, after all this time of waiting from Genesis 3:15 until that day, all these centuries of prophets and all these centuries of Messiah's coming, and Redeemer's coming, he comes into the city. And he's not riding on a white horse. He doesn't have a bunch of soldiers. He's riding on a donkey,
right.
A baby donkey, a service animal.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of soldiers, he's got this sorry bunch of guys with him.
Right.
And this is how he comes into the city after all this waiting. And we should be shouting and rejoicing. The people should be shouting and rejoicing because he has salvation with him.
Mm-hmm.
Zechariah says he brings salvation with him. What looks like a man sitting on a donkey is a king who brings salvation. Because, of course, we know now what the plan was, how the plan unfolded. And we know his kingdom was not of this world, as he tells Pilate.
Right.
But this is such an important event that it's mentioned in all four Gospels.
Yeah. You know, in verse 10, it says, the warrior's bow will be banished, and he will proclaim peace to the nations. His dominion will be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth.
Mm.
A vast kingdom.
A vast kingdom.
Yeah.
On a simple-looking man riding on a donkey.
It reminds me of the narrative of when the angels announced the birth of Messiah mm-hmm. in Bethlehem.
Yes.
Very little.
Yes.
There was very little there.
Yes.
And just as you said, all this anticipation, he comes in riding a colt.
Yes.
A baby, you know, a service animal.
A service animal. Not a big white horse. And he comes in on a day, you know, we know that Passover was coming.
Mm-hmm.
This was Sunday. Passover was Friday. So this was the Passover lamb riding into the city. Mm-hmm. And it was the day, according to the Passover regulations, it was the day that people went to buy their lambs.
Mm-hmm.
And they shopped around, because if you lived in the city, you didn't have your own flocks of lamb.
Right.
So you had to buy a lamb from somewhere or get a lamb from somewhere. And the lamb, of course, had to be without blemish. It had to be perfect. It couldn't be sick. It couldn't have spots. It couldn't have some kind of deformity. It had to be a perfect lamb.
Mm-hmm.
And so as people were looking for a perfect lamb, the true lamb was riding into the city.
Right.
This is such a powerful image that I think about this all year long. What a powerful image this was. And if you had any doubts about the lamb that you picked, you had to ask one of the teachers or the priests, can you take a look at my lamb and make sure it's okay
right.
for the sacrifice? But yet, as we're going to see, we'll have Stephen read from Matthew in a minute. But as we're going to see, although these priests could look at a lamb and say, yes, fine, this is a unblemished lamb, it's perfect for the sacrifice, when the true lamb comes in, the priests and the religious leaders say, no, this is not a lamb. This is a false prophet. This is a false teacher. This is a guy who is blasphemous. This is a guy who has a following of people that's going to cause nothing but trouble. You know, as in John 11, you know, Caiaphas says, you know, if this man gets more and more followers, the Romans are going to come down on us.
Right.
We're going to lose our temple. We're going to lose our jobs. We're going to be oppressed. And so it's better one guy dies than all the people die.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he unwittingly makes a prophecy. He unwittingly makes a messianic prophecy that one's going to die for everyone. He's not saying it in that context, of course, but he's saying a truth.
Right.
John chapter 11. So he's rejected as a lamb, as a true lamb. While they were paying attention to the real animal lambs that were going to be used in 4 more days as the sacrifice.
Right.
And this was, of course, the 10th day of the month, you had to have the lamb at your house. And he had to live with you for a while. Then on the 14th day, you killed the lamb. And this is a time where, this is the only time that Jesus rode in what we would call a procession, kind of a triumphal procession. But there's no trumpets, there's no chariots, there's no horses. And this is much different than his second coming is going to be. It's going to be no donkey, no service animal, no, you know, common looking guys with him.
Right.
It's going to be much more glorious.
Yeah. And as he's riding into the city, into Jerusalem, you know, they're laying cloaks down. They're putting palm branches down.
Mm-hmm.
They're making a level, you know, they're trying to put down this covering
mm-hmm.
so that he can ride in on this covering.
Mm-hmm.
And they're shouting, Hosanna, mm-hmm. Hosanna to the Son of David.
Mm-hmm.
And this gets the attention of the religious leaders, the Pharisees, and it creates a big uprising because what they're saying is, in saying Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David, they're proclaiming him as the Messiah.
Amen. Amen.
And that gets the attention of the Pharisees.
Yes. When you call somebody the Son of David, you're saying he's the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
When you say Hosanna, that means come and save us.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying, come and save us, son of David.
Yeah.
Which fulfills Zechariah saying he's bringing salvation with him.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they're waving the palm branches and putting the branches down, you know, it's like the Feast of Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, where you wave the branches. The palm,
yeah.
The palm is one of the branches that you wave. But while you're praising God, you're waving the palm branches. And so right. To the Pharisees, instead of thinking, wow, is this Zechariah 9:9? Mm-hmm. They said, no, this is false stuff. This guy's being praised by these stupid, ignorant people from the backwoods, and we got to step in and do something.
Yeah. Yeah. And
go ahead.
You want to give me a passage from Matthew?
Yeah, it's going to be chapter 21, verses 1 through 11.
Okay. So do we want to read through this?
Yeah, read it.
Let's read through it before we go.
Yeah.
When they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find an ass tethered and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them here to me. And if anyone should say anything to you, reply, the master has need of them. Then he will send them at once. This happened so that what had been spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. Say to daughter Zion, behold, your king comes to you, meek and riding on an ass, and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus had ordered them. They brought the ass and the colt and laid their cloaks over them, and he sat upon them. The very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and strewed them on the road. The crowds preceded him, and those following kept crying out and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was shaken and asked, who is this? And the crowds replied, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee.
Oof. That's awesome. So you can picture this scene. And the multitudes came and lined the street. These were the common people, the simple people. They were the ones with the branches. They were the ones saying Hosanna. The Pharisees and the learned people were not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Because after all, you know, they knew better. Common people were paying him homage. They cut down the branches, just like Sukkot when you celebrate.
Right.
And they're saying, come and save us. And they call him Son of David. And they say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, which is from Psalm 118. And interestingly, in Matthew 23, Jesus tells the Pharisees, they're not going to see him again until they say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Right.
But this was a profound moment of welcoming the king into his city. So there's people that are celebrating and praising. There's people that are against this. And I think in Luke's version, you know, they say, Rabbi, make them stop that. And he talks about the stones crying out. But then there's a group of people too who say, who is this? Who is this?
Right.
They're like uninvolved. And so the king is coming into the city and they're saying, who is this? So there's these people with different emotions. You know, he's like Simeon called him, he's the glory of Israel, but they don't recognize it. You know, he's the Holy One of Israel, as he's called, but they don't recognize it.
Right.
Who is this? You know, oh, he can't be a prophet. Look at this. Rabbi, make them stop that.
Yeah. Yeah. In Luke's gospel, it says that the Pharisees and the crowds tells him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. And Jesus replies to them and he says, I tell you, if they keep silent, the stones will cry out.
Mm.
That's awesome.
Yes. This whole event was planned from all eternity because this is the, in Passover terms, this is the choosing of the lamb. This is the lamb being publicly displayed, just like the lambs for the sacrifice were publicly displayed.
Right.
The whole community was involved in the sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the true lamb who's going to be sacrificed in a few days. And they don't know it. And even when it's happening, they don't understand what's happening. But he's not only being publicly shown, but he's going to be publicly sacrificed. as the Passover lamb.
Yes.
And not killed in a secret place, not taken out to the wilderness, not killed in the basement of a jail somewhere, not, you know, set off on some execution ground. He's going to be sacrificed on a public street where everybody walks,
mm-hmm.
so that everybody can see this.
Yeah. Just as you're saying that, you know, Jesus says, just as Moses raised up the serpent in the desert, so too will the Son of Man be lifted on a tree.
Yes.
And so this is for everyone to come to him and to be drawn to him.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know, when the Son of Man is lifted up, I will draw all men to myself.
Yes.
And so just as the people had a look upon that serpent in the desert and they were healed, when we look upon Jesus on the cross, if we receive that gift of salvation that he's given for us, we're healed.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And of course, the direct connection to the Passover lamb, which we're not going to really do a show about Passover because of the timing of all this. And with the shorter shows now, there's only so much we could cover. But obviously, the lamb, you know, the people were saved by the blood of the lamb on their house.
Mm-hmm.
And we're saved by the blood of the lamb on our hearts. And if you're under the blood of the lamb, you're saved from the curse, just like they were saved from the curse if they were under the blood of the lamb.
True.
And so this is what was going to happen. And this, you know, because this is such a powerful, eternal day, it's interesting that there wasn't much planning involved. It's like all of a sudden he says to them, okay, go into the town and you're going to see this donkey. And mm-hmm. if anybody says, hey, why are you taking the donkey? Say the master needs it.
Yeah.
You know, we'll return it later. He's just going to use it for a couple hours. And, you know, so much for the prosperity teachers talking about all the believers being rich. And even Jesus himself was rich. You know, he probably had designer clothes and all kinds of cool stuff. He had to borrow a donkey to do Palm Sunday to fulfill a prophecy that was given by Zechariah, but was planned before the foundation of anything. And it was done with very little earthly planning. Mm-hmm. Oh, you guys just go there, bring me a donkey, and then we're going to go in.
Right. Well, true. I mean, you know, it's Jesus knows that it's his time to enter the city. He knows that it is his time mm-hmm. that this sacrifice is to take place. And, you know, he also says, you know, he doesn't do anything unless he sees the Father. He only mm-hmm. does what he sees the Father doing. He only says what he hears the Father saying.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus isn't doing his own will. He's doing the will of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, in that first Exodus, in that first Passover from Egypt, they had a place, the Israelites had a place, the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost. That when God sent the angel of death to cast judgment on Egypt, they would be, those households would be passed over, and the people that were in those houses with the blood on the doorpost would be saved,
mm-hmm.
would be spared.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same for us. Jesus's blood is the atonement for our sins.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other way that God had this done. A lot of people may talk about it.
Oh, yeah.
But there's no other way that God had this done.
Right. A lot of people talk about being good.
And we are saved by the blood by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If it could have been done a different way, when Jesus was in the garden asking the Father, mm-hmm. let this chalice pass my lips, but not my will, but your will be done. If there was any other way that God could have done this, mm-hmm. he would have.
Mm-hmm. The only solution to the sin problem.
Mm-hmm.
Is the God man.
Yeah. And so he's handed over under the you know, the veil of night in a mock trial that wasn't
illegally.
And he's executed.
Mm-hmm. And interestingly, this was such an important day that he says to the Pharisees, even if nobody else is going to praise, the stones are going to praise.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's so profound. I mean, creation itself, even the stones are going to praise, even if not one single human being is praising, if not one single human being is saying Hosanna to the Son of David, the stones are going to say it.
Right, exactly.
And he could have said, you know, you bozos are supposed to be the priests. You should know this. But this is such a profound day. And remember, they talked about how they were sons of Abraham. You know, they were children of Abraham. And said, well, God can make these stones into children of Abraham.
Yeah,
well, stones could have been praising.
Yeah, John the Baptist said that.
Yes, yeah. And, you know, a few days later at the crucifixion when Jesus actually died, there were earthquakes and stones moved. Stones reacted to what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
The earth reacted to what had happened. The sky reacted to what had happened, even if the people didn't. And this is so so profound, too, because at the time these things were happening, people were coming into the city because it was Passover time. It was a pilgrimage feast, and people were coming. And so everything was converging onto this day.
Right.
They had the lamb was in the city this whole time, just like at the original Passovers, you kept the lamb at your house for 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is just remarkable how all these things are fulfilled.
Yeah, everybody's coming into the city for the Feast of Passover, and they are seeing Jesus being led on the way to the cross.
Yes.
They're seeing this execution take place.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, the prophet says the daughter of Zion is supposed to be rejoicing. Well, some people were rejoicing,
mm-hmm.
and some people were not involved at all, and some people were vehemently against it, but they didn't understand until the disciples didn't understand this until later, which, of course, like we always say, when you're living something in real time, it's a lot different than when you're looking back on it. And when they looked back on what had happened to Palm Sunday, they realized what this was. They realized this was Zechariah. They realized that this was the lamb being presented. They realized that this corresponded to having the lamb at your house for Passover. And right down to the point where when Jesus says, I want to eat the Passover with my disciples, and then he uses that Seder to institute the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, that Passover was a type of all of this.
Mm-hmm.
There was bread and there was wine and there was bitterness and there was sweetness and there was blood and there were lambs. And
right.
All these things were a prefigurement of this. And the sacrifice led you to the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
The people were delivered by blood, just like we're delivered by blood.
Well, this is what the church is rooted in.
Yes.
Is the Passover.
Exactly.
Because it is the central element of faith, because without it, there is no foundation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that Jesus institutes this new and eternal covenant it's a covenant once for all.
Mm-hmm.
God hasn't made another covenant since that.
Yes.
Now in the Old Testament God made
there
several
won't be another one.
There won't be another one, but in the Old Testament God made several covenants with the people of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus made one covenant, because it wasn't in the blood of bulls and goats or animals. It was in the blood of his son.
Yes.
And that is sufficient for all.
Yes. And this is a time that we not only need to look back on this with, you know, historical interest. You know, you're going to go to church. You went to church today and heard the, you know, quote, Palm Sunday readings. But you have to think about the depths of this, what this actually means.
Yeah.
That in our day and age, we've come up with different plans of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, you know, no, that can't possibly be right. No, come on. Nobody believes that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what happened on this amazing day, getting ready for this sacrifice.
Yeah.
And the music's already on. Whew. And next week will be Resurrection Sunday.
Amen.
Easter Sunday.
Woo.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, we just pray that as we celebrate this Palm Sunday, that you would prepare your heart and your home to be covered in the blood of the Lamb and to receive the salvation that Jesus Christ has won for you on the cross and through his resurrection. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.